said Nanny promptly. Right. We've got to find out more while they're still acting friendly. Agnes, you go back to the castle with Magrat and the baby. She needs extra help anyway. What good will that do? You told me yourself, said Nanny. Vampires don't affect you. As soon as they try to see Agnes's mind, it sinks down, and up pops Perdita like a seesaw. Just when they're looking at Perdita, here comes Agnes again. Young Vlad's definitely got his eye on you, ain't he? Certainly not. Yeah, right, said Nanny. Men always like women that have got a bit of mystery to them. They like a challenge, see? And while he's got his eye on you, keeping your eye on Magrat, you've got your other eye on him. Understand? Everyone's got a weakness. Maybe we'll not see the back of these vampires by going over to the curtains and saying, my, isn't it stuffy in here, but there's got to be some other way. And if there isn't, marry him, said Nanny firmly. Magrat gasped. The teapot rattled in her hand. That's horrible, she said. I'd rather kill myself, said Agnes. In the morning, said Perdita. Don't have to be a long marriage, said Nanny. Put a pointy stake in your garter, and our lad'll be getting cold even before they finish cutting up the wedding cake. Nanny! Or maybe you could just sort of make him change his ways a bit, Nanny went on. It's amazing what a wife can do if she knows her own mind. Or minds, in your case, of course. Look at King Verence I, for one. He used to toss all his meat bones over his shoulder until he was married, and the Queen made him leave them on the side of the plate. I'd only been married to the first Mr. Rogg for a month before he was getting out of the bath if he needed to pee. You can refine a husband. Maybe you could point him in the direction of blutwurst and black puddings and underdone steak. You really haven't got any scruples, have you, Nanny? Said Agnes. No, said Nanny simply. This is Lancre we're talking about. If we was men, we'd be talking about laying down our lives for the country. As women, we can talk about laying down. I just don't want to hear this, said Magrat. I ain't asking her to do what I wouldn't do myself, said Nanny. Really? Then why? Because no one wants me to do it, said Nanny. But if I was 50 years younger, I reckon I could have Sonny Jim biting turnips by midsummer.
You mean just because she's a woman, she should use sexual wiles on him, said Magrat. This is so, well, it's so Nanny-og, that's all I can say.
She should use any wile she can lay her hands on, said Nanny. I don't care what Granny said, there's always a way. Like the hero in Tussaud, or whatever it was, who was completely invincible except for his heel, and someone stuck a spear in it and killed him.
What are you expecting her to do, prod him all over?
I never understood that story anyway, said Nanny. I mean, if I knew I'd got a heel that would kill me if someone stuck a spear in it, I'd go into battle wearing heavy boots.
You don't know what he's like, said Agnes, ignoring the diversion. He looks at me as if he's undressing me with his eyes.
Eyes is allowed, said Nanny. And he's laughing at me all the time, as if he knows I don't like him, and that adds to the fun. Now you get into that castle, Nanny growled. For Lancre, for the king, for everyone in the country. And if he gets too much, let Perdita take over, because I reckon there's some things she's better at.
In the shocked silence, there was a faint clinking noise from Nanny's sideboard. Magrat coughed.
Just like the old days, she said, arguing all the time.
Nanny stood up and unhooked a cast-iron saucepan from the beam over the kitchen range.
You can't treat people like this, said Agnes sullenly.
I can, said Nanny, tiptoeing in the direction of the sideboard. I'm the other one now, see?
Ornaments flew and shattered as she brought the saucepan down hard, bottom upwards.
Gotcha, you little blue devil, she shouted. Don't think I didn't see you.
The saucepan rose. Nanny leaned her weight on the handle, but it still moved slowly along the dresser, rocking slightly from side to side until it reached the edge. Something red and blue dropped onto the floor and started moving towards the closed door. At the same time, Grebo shot past Agnes, accelerating. And then, just as he was about to spring, he changed his mind. All 4 feet extended their claws at the same time and bit into the floorboards. He rolled, sprang onto his feet and started to wash himself. The red and blue blur hit the door and picked itself up, becoming a blue man, 6 inches tall with red hair. He carried a sword about the same size as himself.
Ach, hins tak yer skaggy, yer dank yul kalyik, he screamed. Oh, it's you, said Nanny, relaxing. Do you want a drink?
The sword was lowered slightly, but with